14th sign. Another numerous sort of the various kinds of miracle of Allah's most noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, were the wonders manifested as a result of his prayers. This kind is definite, and there is true consensus in their many reports. The instances and examples of it are so numerous as to be incalculable, and many of these have reached the degree of consensus, or have become famous as such. Others have been related by such authorities that they bear the same certainty as well-known consensus. As examples, we shall quote only some of the numerous instances of this kind of miracle that are very well-known and nearest in degree to consensus, giving some particulars of each instance. First example. The fact that prayers of the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, for rain were always accepted has been transmitted by authorities of hadith, primarily Bukhari and Muslim. There were times when in the pulpit he raised his hands to pray for rain, and before he had lowered them even, rain began to fall. As mentioned above, once or twice when the army had run out of water, the clouds came and poured forth rain. Before his prophetic mission, even during his childhood, the prophet's grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, would go to pray for rain with him, and the rain came out of respect for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The fact became celebrated through a poem of Abdul Muttalib. And after the prophet's death, Umar prayed, making Abbas the means, saying, "O our sustainer, this is the uncle of your beloved. Send us rain for his sake." And it rained. Bukhari and Muslim also relate that Allah's messenger was asked to pray for rain. He did so, and such rain fell that they were compelled to ask him to pray for it to stop. He did so, and it stopped at once. Second example. It is almost as well known as those incidents about which there are many unanimous reports, that when the number of companions and believers had still not reached 40, Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, prayed secretly while performing his worship. "O Allah, strengthen Islam by means of either Umar bin al-Khattab or Umar bin Hisham." A few days later, Umar bin al-Khattab came to believe and was the means to proclaiming and upholding Islam, so that he acquired the title of Faruq, discerner between truth and falsehood. Third example. Allah's messenger prayed for various distinguished companions for different purposes. His prayers were all accepted in so brilliant a fashion that the wonders of these prayers reached the degree of a miracle. For instance, foremost Bukhari and Muslim relate that he prayed for Ibn Abbas as follows: "O Allah, give him knowledge of religion and teach him interpretation." This supplication was accepted in such a way that Ibn Abbas gained the glorious title of interpreter of the Quran and reached the elevated degree of learned scholar of the Muslim community. When still very young even, Umar used to include him in the gatherings of the religious scholars and leading companions. Also, foremost Bukhari and the writers of books of authentic hadith relate that the mother of Anas entreated Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, "Pray that your servant Anas will be blessed with abundant wealth and offspring." The prophet prayed, saying, "O Allah, grant increase to his wealth and offspring, and bless what you bestow on him." Towards the end of his life, Anas said, swearing by Allah, "I have buried 100 of my progeny with my own hand. No one has been as fortunate as myself in regard to wealth and possessions. You can see that my wealth is truly abundant." All these are the result of the Prophet's prayer for the blessing of plenty. Also, foremost Imam Bayhaqi and the scholars of hadith relate that Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, prayed that one of the 10 promised paradise, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, be blessed with abundance of wealth. Through the blessing of that prayer, he acquired such wealth that on one occasion he donated 700 camels together with their loads to Allah's cause. See the blessings of plenty resulting from the Prophet's prayer and say, how great are Allah's blessings. Also, narrators of hadiths and foremost Bukhari relate, Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, prayed that Urwa bin Abi al-Ja'da might do profitably at trade. Urwa said, "Sometimes I would go to the marketplace in Kufa and come home in the evening having made a 40,000-fold profit." Imam Bukhari says, "If he took earth in his hand, he would still make a profit from it." Also, he prayed that Abdullah bin Ja'far would acquire an abundance of wealth, and he became so rich he was famous for it. He also became as famous for his generosity as he was for the wealth he obtained through the Prophet's prayer for the blessing of plenty. There are numerous instances of this sort of miracle, but we consider the four described above to be sufficient as examples. Also, foremost, Imam Tirmidhi relates, "The noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, prayed for Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, 'O Allah, answer his prayer.' After that, everyone feared his malediction, and the answering of his prayers also became famous. On another occasion, Allah's messenger prayed for the famous Abu Qatada that he might remain young. 'May Allah prosper your face. O Allah, bless his hair and his skin.' When he died at the age of 70, he was like a youth of 15. This is related through a sound narration. Also, the famous story of the poet Nabigha. He recited one of his poems before Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, which ran, "Our glory and praise have reached to the skies. We want to ascend even higher." Allah's messenger asked, jokingly, "Where beyond the skies?" Nabigha replied, "To paradise." He then recited another of his meaningful poems, and the Prophet prayed, "May Allah not spoil your mouth." It was through the blessing of this prayer of the Prophet that he did not have a single tooth missing when he was 120 years old. Whenever he lost a tooth, another would appear in its place. Also, it is related through an authentic narration that he prayed for Imam Ali, "O Allah, protect him from heat and cold." Through the blessing of this prayer, Imam Ali used to wear summer clothes in the winter and winter clothes in the summer. He used to say, "I never suffer from heat or cold thanks to that prayer." Also, he prayed for Fatima, "O Allah, do not give her the pains of hunger." And Fatima used to say, "I never suffered from hunger after that prayer." Also, Tufail bin Amr asked Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, for a miracle to show to his tribe. The Prophet prayed, "O Allah, illuminate him," and a light appeared between his eyes. Later, it was transferred to the end of his staff, and he became famous as Dhil Nur, the possessor of light. These incidents are all from well-known hadiths that are certain. Also, Abu Huraira once complained to the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, that he sometimes suffered from forgetfulness. Allah's messenger told him to spread out a piece of cloth. He then made some movements with his blessed hand as though taking some invisible objects and putting them on the cloth. He repeated this two or three times, then told him to gather up the cloth. Abu Huraira later swore that through the mystery of this prayer of the Prophet's, he never again forgot anything. This event is also among well-known hadiths. Fourth example. We shall describe here a few events regarding maledictions of Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. The first, the Persian Shah Parviz tore up the letter sent to him by the Prophet. When Allah's Prophet received news of this, he prayed, "O Allah, rend him as he rent my letter." It was as a result of this malediction that Chosroes Parviz's son, Shervi'ah, cut him to pieces with a dagger, and Sa'ad bin al-Waqqas broke his kingdom apart, so that in no part of the Sassanid Empire did his sovereignty remain. However, the emperor of Byzantium and other kings did not perish, since they respected the Prophet's letters. The second, an event almost as well known as those reported unanimously, which some verses of the Quran allude to, is this. In the early days of Islam, the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, was performing the prayers in the Masjid al-Haram when the chiefs of the Quraysh gathered and maltreated him. At the time, Allah's Prophet called down curses on them. Ibn Mas'ud stated, I swear that at the Battle of Badr, I saw the corpses of all those who had ill-treated him and received his curse. The third, on their denying him, Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, prayed that a large Arab tribe called the Mudadriya would be afflicted with drought and famine. All rain ceased and drought and famine occurred. Then the Quraysh, a branch of the Mudadriya, pleaded with the Prophet, and he prayed. Whereupon, the rains came and put an end to the drought. Having been reported unanimously, this incident is also well known. Fifth example, the fact that the Prophet's sallallahu alayhi wasallam maledictions against particular persons were accepted and realized in a dreadful way is illustrated by numerous instances. We shall recount three of these by way of example. The first, he uttered the following curse against Utbah bin Abi Lahab. O Allah, beset a dog on him from among your dogs. Sometime later, Utbah went on a journey during which a lion sought him out from among the caravan and tore him to pieces. This incident was famous and is narrated as authentic by the authorities on Hadith. The second, this is Muhallam bin Jathama. He unjustly killed Amir bin Adbat, but Allah's messenger had sent him as the commander of a force to fight in Allah's way. When the news of this reached the messenger, he was angry and cursed him, saying, O Allah, do not grant forgiveness to Muhallam. Muhallam died a week later. They put him in his grave, but the grave cast him out. They buried him in several different places, but each time the grave rejected him. Finally, they built a strong wall between two rocks, and in this way the corpse was housed. The third, once Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, saw a man eating with his left hand. He ordered him to eat with his right hand. The man replied, I can't. The messenger said as a malediction, henceforth you will be unable to raise it. And after that, he was unable to use it. Sixth example. Here we shall mention several events which are certain from among the numerous wonders resulting from prayers of the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and from his touch. The first, Allah's messenger gave Khalid bin al-Walid, known as Allah's sword, several of his hairs and prayed for his victory in battle. Khalid put them in his cap. As the result of the hairs and the blessings of the prayer, there was never a battle in which he then fought, but he was victorious. The second, Salman al-Farsi had formerly been a slave of the Jews. His masters had asked for a very high ransom, saying, in order to gain your freedom, you must plant 300 date palms, and after they bear fruit, give us 40 akkas of gold in addition to the fruit. He went to the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and explained his situation. Allah's messenger then planted the 300 palms in the region of Medina. Only one of them was planted by someone else. That year, all 300 trees bore fruit, with the exception of the one planted by the other person. The messenger uprooted it and planted another, and it too bore fruit. He then rubbed some of his spittle on a piece of gold the size of a hen's egg and offered a prayer. He gave it to Salman, telling him to go and give it to the Jews. Salman al-Farsi went and gave them 40 akkas of gold out of that piece, while it remained in its original state. This miraculous incident, which was narrated by the most trustworthy and respected authorities, was the most significant event in Solomon's entire life. The third, a woman companion called Malik used to give the noble messenger alayhi salatu wasalam butter from a leathern bag called an ukka as a gift. On one occasion, Allah's messenger uttered a prayer over it while returning it to her, and told her not to empty it and squeeze it. Malik took the ukka, and thereafter, as a result of the blessing of the Prophet's prayer, butter was found in it whenever her children asked for it. This continued for a long time until they squeezed it and the blessing disappeared. Seventh example. There are also many examples of water becoming sweet and emitting a pleasant smell as the result of the Prophet's prayer and his touching it. We shall mention several by way of example. The first, scholars of Hadith and foremost Imam Bayhaqi report that the well, known as Bir al-Quba, would sometimes dry up. On Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, pouring the water with which he had taken ablutions into the well and offering a prayer, its water became abundant, and it never again dried up. The second, scholars of hadith, including Abu Naim in his Dalalil al-Nubuwa, Evidences of Prophethood, report that when Allah's messenger spat into the well in Anas's house and prayed, it became the sweetest water in Medina. The third, Ibn Majah reports that a bucketful of water from the spring of Zamzam was brought to the messenger. He took a little of it into his mouth, then emptied it into the bucket. The bucket then emitted a sweet scent like musk. The fourth, Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal reports that a bucketful of water was drawn from a well. After Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had put some of his spittle in the bucket and poured it into the well, it began to emit a sweet scent like musk. The fifth, Hamid bin Salama, who was a man of Allah and was trusted and accepted by Imam Muslim and the scholars of the Maghrib, reports that the noble messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, filled a leather bag with water and breathed into it while praying. He then tied it up and gave it to some of the companions, saying, "Do not open it except when you perform the ablutions." When they opened the bag to take ablutions, they saw pure milk with cream at its opening. Thus, these five instances have been narrated by well-known and important authorities. Together with those that are not mentioned here, they prove the occurrence of this kind of miracle as definitely as those about the various reports of which there is consensus in meaning. Eighth example. There were numerous instances of barren and dry goats producing milk, and abundantly at that, through the touch and prayers of Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. We shall mention only two or three which are well known and certain as examples. The first, all the reliable books of the Prophet's biography relate that when Allah's Prophet and Abu Bakr the Voracious were migrating to Medina, they came to the house of Mabed, called Atika bint Khalid al-Khuzai. There was an extremely thin, barren, and dry goat there. Allah's messenger asked Mabed, "Has this no milk?" She replied, "It has no blood in its body. How should it produce milk?" The Prophet stroked its loins and teats and prayed. Then he said, "Bring a vessel and milk it." They milked it, and after the messenger and Abu Bakr had drunk, all the people of the house drank to repletion. The goat grew strong and remained thus blessed. The second, this is the famous story of Shat bin Masud before becoming a Muslim. Ibn Masud used to act as a shepherd for certain people. Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, went together with Abu Bakr the Voracious to the place where Ibn Masud and his goats were. Allah's messenger asked Ibn Masud for some milk. On replying that they were not his but the property of someone else, Allah's messenger told him to bring him a barren, dry goat. So he brought a nanny goat who had not been mated for 2 years. Allah's messenger stroked its teats with his hand and prayed. Then they milked it and obtained sweet milk which they drank. Ibn Masud came to believe after witnessing this miracle. The third. This is the well-known story of Halima Sadia, the foster mother, that is, wet nurse, of the noble messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. There was drought where the tribe was found, and all the animals were thin and without milk. They could not find sufficient to eat. But when the messenger was sent to his foster mother there, through the blessing he brought, Halima Sadia's goats would return in the evening with both their stomachs and their teats full, contrary to everyone else's. There are further instances in the books of biography similar to these, but these examples are sufficient for our purpose. Ninth example. We shall recount here a few out of many instances of wonders which were manifested after Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, had touched the faces and heads of certain people and prayed. The first, he passed his hand over the head of Umar bin Saad and prayed. When the man died at the age of 80, through the blessing of that prayer, there was not a single gray hair on his head. The second, he placed his hand on Qais bin Zayd's head and prayed. Through the blessing of the prayer and effect of his touch, when Qais reached 100 years of age, his head was white except for where Allah's messenger had placed his hand. That had remained totally black. The third, Abdul Rahman bin Zayd bin al-Khattab was both small and ugly. Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, touched his head with his hand and prayed. Through the blessing of his prayer, Abdul Rahman acquired the loftiest stature and most beautiful form. The fourth, Aid bin Amr received a wound on the face during the Battle of Hunain. Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, wiped away the blood on his face with his hand. The part of his face that the Messenger had touched acquired a shining brilliance, which the scholars of Hadith described as resembling a white blaze on a chestnut horse. The fifth, he passed his hand over Qatada bin Malhan's face and prayed, and Qatada's face began to shine like a mirror. The sixth, when Zainab, the daughter of the mother of believers, Salama, and the stepdaughter of Allah's Messenger, was a child, the noble Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, sprinkled some of his ablution water on her face. With the touch of the water, her face acquired an extraordinary beauty. There are numerous further examples similar to these, most of which have been narrated by the leading scholars of Hadith. Even if we suppose each of these instances to be a single report and weak, as a whole, they still demonstrate an absolute miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which has the certainty of consensus in meaning. For if an event is narrated in numerous different forms, the occurrence of the basic event becomes definite. Even if each form is itself weak, it still proves the basic event. For example, a noise was heard. Some people said that a house had collapsed. Others said it was a different house, and so on. Each narration may be a single report and weak and untrue, but the basic event was that a house had collapsed. That was certain, and they were unanimous concerning it. However, the six instances we enumerated above were both authentic, and some of them became famous. Suppose we consider each of these to be weak. Altogether, they still demonstrate the certain existence of an absolute miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like the absolute collapse of the house in the comparison. Thus, Allah's noble messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, performed definite and clear miracles from every category. The instances of them are the forms or examples of those universal and absolute miracles. Just as the messenger's hand, fingers, spittle, breath, and speech, that is, his prayer, were the means of numerous miracles, so too his other subtle faculties and emotions and senses were the means of many wonders. The books of biography and history have described them and demonstrated that in his conduct, physical being, and senses were many evidences of his prophethood.